Hello and welcome to the seventh episode of the XSpies Cars podcast. I'm Eric Boyd, and today I bring you an interview with John Robitaille of Team Psychoactive. They have a very interesting ducted blade rotary engine concept, which basically takes turbine technology into automobiles, and he has a business plan involving the construction of a rolling chassis for which other companies would retrofit the cabin that sits on top. I conducted this interview on the 21st of March 2008 at the New York Auto Show. So without further ado, here's John Robitaille. I'm sitting here with...
John Robitaille.
Of Team Psychoactive. And talk to us about your team, I guess, John.
Well, right now our team has approximately eight members. The prime member, myself, Steve Johnson, and Mike Brummel, and Alan Hilling. I have a pretty strange background, pretty eclectic background, and I'd rather not bore you with that. Steve Johnson is the patent owner for the DBR Technologies, which is at the heart of our product, what we're going to call the EPOC. Alan Hilling is a chemist, analytical chemist with about 20 years in the field, and Mike Brummel is our public relations, media relations person. He's responsible for all things pertaining to media, blah, blah, blah. He's pretty...
Cool. And where are you based?
We're based out of Moore, South Carolina, between Greenville and Spartanburg.
Ah, very cool.
Right in the heart of Dixie. Yeah! Goat number three!
Wait, so how did you find out about the Automotive XPRIZE?
Well, I was reading the Red Herring magazine, and I saw the XPRIZE, and at that precise moment I knew that that's what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to do or what I was going to do, but I just knew that it was something I had to do.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way when they discover the prize. They're like, wow.
Well, it's not necessarily the prize so much as it is the challenge. It's not about getting rich. Yeah. It's about my children and the children's children having something I'd want to drive.
Cars that, you know, don't
that
destroy
rock,
the environment,
man.
Right?
I get great mileage and rock, man. Because I have a habit, I have a tendency of breaking things, man. It's one of the, if I have any talent in the world, it's I can break things. So if this thing survives me...
Well, here's the challenge, right? Break the oil industry.
Yeah! Woohoo! Do it! Boom.
Okay, so let's talk about your technology and your vehicle for a bit. What's your idea?
Okay, well, our idea is... It goes back to, I have a car right now, I'm getting ready, and I'm at the decision where, and this is a perfect example of what am I going to do? Do I want to sell it? Or do I want to keep it? Well, when I look at the heart of what I'm looking at, it's like, well, the reason why I want to sell it is I'm really tired of looking at it. Tired of the dashboard, tired of the way it looks, blah, blah, blah. Why I don't want to sell it is because it's been a good car, and I know what I have. And I believe most people, when they come to that point in their life with their vehicles, so I've worked a lot on cars when I was younger, didn't have much money, and I was really a member of the Car Month Club. By the time I was like 20 years old, I had at least 40, 45 cars. So I've worked on a lot of them, I've broken a lot of them, and over the years, I just am really repulsed by so many things that aren't right with the industry. So when this XPRIZE came and how the idea developed, is basically what we plan on making is a chassis. And we call it a rolling chassis. And basically what that'll be is the engine, drivetrain, frame, suspension. But the whole idea is that we believe that if it's designed properly, it'll last generations. And we're not don't want to be in the parts business, which is kind of like the mindset a lot of companies are in right now. What we want to do is we want to come up with a chassis that's really robust, really economical, and just refine it over years. So 10, 20 years down the road, a thing breaks, you don't have to go to the factory and say, oh, look in your basement for a part for a 2010 Epoch, but rather you can just go to the factory or anybody who's selling this thing and get the latest part that's gone through 10, 20 years of refinement, bolt it on the car, and move on with your life, and have your kids have it. And so going back to my thing about selling my car, the chassis, your car has four wheels, and they've had four wheels forever. And my contention is that the body is the most is the thing that most people are really most particular about. Well, I'm not, as you can tell by the way I look and the way I dress, I'm not much of a design person. as well as, you know, we can't design anything that suits everybody. So hoping if we have a chassis that has the performance and the versatility and the robustness that we believe that their companies will step up to it, coach builders will step up to it and make their bodies available onto our chassis. And so we want it reliable, really robust, really efficient, really cost-effective. Now, what we're going to do, and this is really, I guess, part of the psychoactive thing, is we're planning on a Dell config-to-order type system, and we're aiming for a entry price of $6,000 for the chassis. It can go up from there depending on what components you choose and everything like that. But we want just something that can just address 80% of people's needs. And then it could just be a beautiful thing, and they can pick the bodies, they get tired of it, they get in a collision, the body gets damaged, trash the body. And the way we're going to put the chassis together is going to be, if something does get damaged, you can take that part off, put another part on there, and really, really take green to the umpteenth level.
Yeah, so modular and simple.
And we're also looking for to franchise it. Rather than a centralized manufacturing model, which most businesses do, we're looking at franchises, because there's a lot of, in the United States, I'm sure throughout the world, there's a lot of areas where it's a depressed economy. And so what we're hoping to do is be able to sell a franchise, which would be basically based around 5,000 units a year at about $1,000 per unit profit, and basically stimulate the local economy, because not only do we have the franchise there and you'll have your employees manufacturing it, but we also want to stimulate the local machine shops and local whatever local businesses that provide services to be able to build the pieces for the car. And of course, if there's not enough infrastructure, they can't keep up the volume, the corporate itself, because the parts that we have aren't going to be, you know, year specific, can also use the corporate buying power to inventory parts. And when somebody's getting low on it, because it's going to be a centralized, you know, web-based system, Ruby and Google technologies, where we know somebody's getting low, we'll be able to automatically ship these pieces to their respective franchisees. The only thing we haven't worked out yet is how they're going to get them the coaches. And the whole idea there is not only to stimulate the local economy, but if you think about it, like I have a very close person who works who worked for used to be Rockwell, is Avon Meritor, and it's so funny because they manufacture truck axles. Well, the truck axle casting is made here. It's shipped across the country to this other place where they weld brackets on it. It's shipped to another place. It's bizarre. And so the whole idea there is we're also going to minimize our ecological impact as far as all this burden on the infrastructure, shipping parts around and spreading the money. So we're in green on so many levels. I don't want to bore you with that, but that's...
That's your plan, yeah. So
among
you have some kind of special engine technology as well, right?
We do. We're very pleased with that. It's a Steve Johnson, ThoughtFlow Design, decided to team up with us, and he has a patent on what we dubbed DBR technology, or ducted blade rotary engine, not to be mistaken with the Mazda rotary. And this one is basically a positive displacement turbine, and we're anticipating it's extremely high displacement density, and we're hoping that it theoretically, from what we've done with our initial tests, we're expecting full torque at zero RPM. So it is plausible that depending on some configurations, we may not even need a transmission. We may be able to directly couple the wheels to this engine and save some money there. So that's what we're aiming for, that $6,000 mark. And it's very exciting. We're planning on about a 10-inch. We have two. I was very confused because people, when we look on the website, we'll have two different versions. There's a top and bottom version, and there's a side version. Top and bottom is called the Gladiator, and that's basically what we're planning on right now. But the side version is what we call a Spiral, and the way they work. But it's very high density engines, and it's very exciting. And right now, as we speak, we have a prototype in production, and we're hoping within a month's time to have a running prototype, which will be, if that's the case, will be unheard of. I don't know of any engines that I know of that have done that, have been within 1 month's time gone from paper to a running prototype.
Yeah, wow.
So, which will testify to us whether or not this is as good an idea as we think.
Yeah. Do you have any estimates for how efficient these engines are? Are they going to be, I mean, turbines in general are more efficient, but...
Yeah. Well, of course, the sealing issue is the one thing that we're really concerned about. The fact that we should have full torque at zero RPM means that we have a 1,200 RPM advantage on your average car at idle. And what we're planning on doing with this, in conjunction with this, because of the unique nature of the car, there's absolutely no reciprocation whatsoever. So we plan on, basically, we're going to run the gas through a ceramic catalyst, which is about 99% efficient. So of the gas we're burning, 99% is going to get burnt, unlike your traditional auto cycle. When the gas is burned and enters into the expansion chamber, we plan on injecting a water ethanol mix, which will do two things. It'll give us volumes, because it's going to just be an incredible volume burst of power and of air, and as well, it's going to cool the engine. So the engine's not going to require any cooling systems, and it's going to be mounted inside our frame, which, going to this other level of efficiency, because the nature of the engine can also run off, and it can also be an air engine, so we can run strictly off of air. So we're going to use the frame. The engine and transmission, if we need one, is going to be a stressed member of the frame. And the frame is going to be a low-pressure, high-volume air tank augmented by a high-pressure tank. And so what will happen is if a person's at a stop, a lot of the work for a car from stop-and-go traffic is going to be the inertia, overcoming the inertia to get the car moving. Well, in that case, we'll use the air to go in and get the engine, get the car moving, spin the engine, get the car moving. At a certain point, we'll start injecting the fuel, and it'll be running under power. Then, of course, we'll do the regenerative braking to recharge up the frame and everything like that. So we're expecting, with these technologies, that 100 miles per gallon is pretty easily conceivable. Let's put it that way, because we're going to be getting more power out of the steam than we are out of the gas.
Very cool.
Yeah, thanks. And here's another thing that's really neat. It's plausible that this engine, this will be a first, it'll be ceramic, a ceramic and carbon fiber engine.
Super light,
yeah. Super efficient, no oil, and very little maintenance.
Do you think you can win the race? Are you going to be mainstream?
We are the mainstream class. The chassis we're making, we could easily put a bottom. We are in the mainstream class, yes. And could we win? I don't see any reason why not. There's a lot of really good designs out there. And it's going to be a tough competition. I think what we have the advantage of is that we're going to have an incredible amount of power. And I think we could win. But assuming we get the infrastructure to proceed from this point, mm-hmm. which goes to financing.
Yeah, that brings us to our next question, how you're going to get money to compete and what your business plan is.
Well, the business plan I had alluded to is the franchising and all. We have the business plan in place, and it's been looked over by some CPAs and some accountants and some business executives, and it's very sound as far as it's concerned. The research and development part is is not as sound, because what we're finding is that the monies, people right now, because the way the economy is, aren't very willing to go out and take a risk on a unknown company. And we're a little bit nervous in that regard, because we have 18 months to go from, a prototype in a machine shop to our first leg of the race. And frankly, this is all, it's all coming out of my pocket right now, and I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. So you're hoping once you have the prototype demonstrated, maybe you can get some interest.
Yes. I alluded to before, if we could get the engine running in a month's time, which is unprecedented to my knowledge, that I think that a lot of people will step up and realize the potential of this technology, because it's not only engine technology that this will work, but we plan on going all the way down from small engines and lawn engines, sticky little two-strokes, all the way up to trucks. Actually, you can even scale them smaller to a MEMS scale as well. So we're really excited about the technology, and we're hoping that some really open-minded but savvy investors will step up to the plate and want a part of our vision.
In conclusion, do you have a website?
We have a website. It's psycho-active.org, and it's there. Hopefully, you'll be able to find the information that you would be able to glean. Of course, at the show, it's always a work in progress, so I'd recommend that if you're interested, check back every couple of weeks or so, because there's a lot of things in the wings that should be coming out and you should be seeing on the webpage.
Yeah, we'll get to see updates about your engine, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Engine, yes, exactly. That's going to be a big part of it, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And that was John Robitaille of Team Psychoactive. This is the 7th episode of the XPRIZE Cars podcast. My name is Eric Boyd. If you'd like more information on the automotive XPRIZE or on Team Psychoactive, please visit my website at xprizecars.com. Thanks for listening.